on today's Run to the Top podcast.
A lot of running is psychological. The coach might have a really solid understanding about the physiology, and that makes sense why you organize training programs the way you do. Maybe your runner doesn't care so much about physiology, but they really need the motivation. They need that psychology piece of it.
Welcome to the Run to the Top podcast from Runners Connect, where it's all about learning from the best and most inspiring minds in the sport. Together, we can train a smarter, healthier, and faster running community. Now here's your host, Stephanie K. Atwood.
Welcome. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, Boston Marathon qualifier, coach, and host for the Run to the Top podcast. On today's podcast, our guest is Jean Knack, Executive Director of RRCA Roadrunners Club of America. The Roadrunners Club of America is the oldest and largest national association of running organizations in the country, dedicated to growing the sport of running since 1958. The RRCA encourages and supports the development of community-based running clubs and events that serve runners of all ages and abilities in pursuit of health and competition, and strives toward organized and active running clubs and events in every community. Jean will be giving us more specifics on what RRCA is about and how it accomplishes its goals of bringing running to every community. Before we begin our talk, let's pause for a brief word from one of our sponsors. This podcast is brought to you by NewKneeShop.com. Don't let knee pain keep you from completing your long runs, or worse, sideline you altogether. An innovative new product called New Knee can help. New Knee is designed specifically to relieve that dreaded runner's knee pain. Let New Knee help you get back to running without knee pain. Available today at NewKneeShop.com. That's N-U-N-E-E. shop.com. Use code RC20 for a 20% discount. That's RC20 for a 20% discount. Welcome back, everyone, and welcome to our interview of Jean Knack, Executive Director of RRCA, the Roadrunners Club of America. Due to some technical glitches, we are skipping over the opening questions and moving right into our talking points. That said, I'd like to give you a little bit more information about Jean before we jump into the interview. Jean Knack, like so many of us, is an avid runner and has completed several marathons and countless road races and triathlons. She was a finisher at the inaugural Ironman Louisville race in 2007 and finished Ironman France in 2009 and Ironman Coeur d'Alene in 2010. She is a proud mother of two and has been married for 17 years. In addition to running, training, and balancing family life, Jean is a fitness advocate for the nation and beyond through the many aspects of her job at Roadrunners Club of America. Let's jump into the interview to discover more about the many branches and benefits of RRCA. Okay, so let's start off with what the RRC is about so that our listeners understand that it's not just another running club. There's so much more to it than that. And Roadrunners Club of America, you as the executive director would have a lot of information on that. Can you fill us in on some of those details?
Sure. So the Roadrunners Club of America, it serves a variety of functions in the sport. And oftentimes we're not as visible in the sport because we really are a bit of a background organization that supports local organizations that are putting on events, training programs, races. One of the most important things we provide is an affordable liability insurance program for running clubs, running events, and coaches. And so our work is looking at risk management, the liability side. And so we're working with clubs and events to really put on safe races, really minimize their risks for participants. And we do a lot of education and safety training along those lines. Again, the more you can educate people, hopefully the better their events will be, the better their group runs will be organized. And for coaches, really helping athletes to train smart and injury-free. So that's a huge piece of what we do that I call kind of, you know, in the background. I sometimes joke, I feel like the Wizard of Oz behind the screen, you know. Yeah. Nobody really sees what we do, but it's actually plays a very vital function in the sport in the United States.
I know my club is a relatively small club, but we use liability through RRCA, and it makes it affordable. And then, of course, it gives us that reassurance as well as that ability to get permits and things with local areas.
And you're right, exactly. And as we say on our side, running is a very safe sport, but the reality is, just like anything in the world, bad things can happen. We have mm-hmm. had people get hit by cars when they've been out on group runs. We've had people that have had cardiac issues during running events, or errant cars that get on a race course during a running event. So we're really there to help protect people who organize running events and who lead running clubs, to help protect them from that liability exposure of when bad things, you know, do happen within the sport. And the reality is, it doesn't happen very often, but, you know, we do see probably 6 or 7 claims within the policy overall throughout the course mm-hmm. of the year. Mm-hmm. You know, our
That's
members
pretty
are
small.
It really is in the grand scheme of the number of events that we're insuring, which is over 10,000 events being put on that are covered through the insurance. And, you know, that's really a testament to how much the race directors in the U.S. really do value safety and risk management on the part of the participants. You know, they really make that a top priority when they're organizing their events. And obviously not every event is created equally. But I do think that people make an effort to make events as safe as they possibly can be within their, you know, their community and their resources.
Of course. And a point that I think is really important is that when we have this liability insurance through RRCA, then volunteers are also covered if they do something that puts them at risk of some type of legal recourse, then they have the RRC policy.
That's correct. And we see, and it's probably not the greatest thing to disclose, but volunteers can be the leading source of claims on a policy. And not because they're doing anything wrong, but they're actually more likely to get injured than a participant because they're the ones who are setting things up. They're moving things around. You know, the likelihood of, you know, maybe a box getting dropped on somebody's foot, or we see a lot of people maybe falling off of an award stage, seems to be. Mm-hmm. Volunteers are, I think, maybe a little tired by the end of a race. And
So
it does cover for volunteers. And that's usually handled through what's called the accidental medical piece of the policy. And that helps mm-hmm. if somebody does have an injury, or if somebody has to take an ambulance ride to a hospital, that it can cover for uninsured medical costs. So kind of your out-of-pocket costs.
Right. And if the volunteers do something that they become sued for or something with the event, then they're actually included in the whole process, the legal process of the RRC dealing with whatever that lawsuit might be, right?
And that's correct. I would say in my 13 years, we've only ever once had one individual named in an action.
Wow.
It didn't go anywhere. That person got thrown out of the lawsuit because it wasn't appropriate. So, and you know, my goal is to encourage people to volunteer, that there's very low risk of personal liability when you volunteer, but we do cover for, you know, if somebody is named, if they're a volunteer race director or a volunteer running club leader, they're leading a group run. That's when it's really important to cover the activities of those volunteers.
Yeah. Now, you have so much more going on than liability insurance, although I think I love it. It's great to have it. And thank you for making that available to us. But talk about some of your other programs that RRCA offers.
Yes, absolutely. So yesterday, we just announced that we granted $35,000 to... Well, I'm going to get this wrong. I probably should have looked it up. But I want to say we had 47 programs that we're granting to. They serve over 23,000 children around the U.S. And so we look at the Kids Around the Nation grants. We're looking at school-based youth running programs where they're operating them, you know, ideally multiple days a week, but that they're doing it. It's not an event. You know, our goal is to get kids moving and active. And so we have our program model that is very easy to adopt. We don't do licensing fees. There's, you know, there's not a lot of burdensome costs with the program. It's an essentially free turnkey program written by people who've been involved in the sport for a very long time. And then the companion is the grant program. So we're really trying to work with schools, boys and girls clubs, after school YMCA programs. We've given grants to homeless shelters that are really finding youth running programs are a great way to help reduce stress in children that are at their facilities. So it's, you know, it's a program that I'm very proud of. We started it in 2007 and we've given away about $250,000 since that program was started. And the, you know, I think that the numbers of our impact are really starting to be impressive since we've really stuck with this program over a long-term period. And people really see the value of, you know, investing in youth programs. And a lot of what we've seen is if a school can get a program started and going, then they can maintain it. You know, it's that getting it going can be the hardest process. And so that's really what we look at when we give the grants is it a new program? Is it an area that has great financial need where the parents can't necessarily support, you know, through a program admission fee? And then also looking, is it a program that's maybe seeking to grow? So maybe they started in one school and they were successful and they want to take it to four or five different schools or four or five different YMCA after school sites. So that's really what we're looking for when we provide these grants. And you know, like I said, we've been very successful and we're really proud of where the program has come from and where we continue to grow with it.
Well, congratulations on that. Now, that makes me think that both a lot of us are going to be members of an RRCA club, which has paid dues directly to RRCA, but people can also join Roadrunners Club of America directly, right? They can become members directly with you.
That's correct. Our primary membership are organizational members, so running clubs, running events, race directing companies. But individuals can join the RRCA, and we do a lot of messaging, a lot of regular emailing, just on a variety of things within the sport, things that affect what I would consider the running community at large. And so we definitely have quite a few individual members as well.
And what would be the benefit for individual runners or even for runners who are in a club from what RRCA offers them?
Well, if you're a member of a running club, then we consider you a member of the RRCA. So you get kind of those benefits of the communications that we provide. We do a bi-monthly email. We call it Club Running, where we're getting, you know, authors that have written about the sport of running for a long period of time, doing feature length articles on the website. So our individual members and club level members, they all have access to that email. And really for an individual member, what we've found is it's people who maybe they aren't as active in their local running club or they don't run as much as they used to, but they still have an affinity and want to have a connection to the national organization. So that's really what we find with the individual members.
And they would be included in the convention too, right?
Absolutely.
Talk about that a bit. The convention is a huge thing held at a different location every year.
Every year we change cities, which is exciting. I've gotten to travel to a lot of really great places in the last 13 years. The last convention, which was in April, was actually our 60th anniversary party. We had a big birthday bash. It was here in the Washington, D.C. area. So that was a great fun. But the goal of the convention is to bring community running club leaders and event directors together, share best practices, talk about challenges, you know, really brainstorm solutions, share in the camaraderie that is so important in our sport, and help support the programs that we're doing through the RRCA. Another program that we'll be announcing soon is our Rhodes Scholar Grants. So We do give away what I think is, you know, meaningful amounts of money to a variety of different groups every year. And the Rhodes Scholar Program is designed to help emerging elite athletes. So very recent college graduates who are, you know, they're coming out of that nice little bubble of the NCAA or their college program where they are well taken care of. And our goal is to help them stay in the sport, because we know for long distance running, it really takes, you know, until mid-20s, maybe even early 30s, until people really start to see a lot of great success in the marathon, the half marathon, on the roads. So our goal is to help give them some resources from an educational standpoint and a financial standpoint to keep them in the sport so they can progress, you know, at that elite level as they, you know, kind of transition out of college. So we'll be announcing those grants probably at the end of September. We're in that process of reviewing applications right now.
Oh, sounds difficult to be, you know, to try and make decisions. I'm sure that part is tough.
It is not easy task. I will be honest. It is definitely not an easy task.
I wanted to ask you about the coaching program, but I also wanted to comment on the conventions because they're so much fun. And I was involved in one in San Francisco that, you know, not only is there a lot of good conversation going back and forth and dialogue and all, but there's networking. You get to meet lots of amazing people, and there are group runs and there are amazing speakers. I know Frank Shorter was one of the people who I have heard speak through RRCA, and just amazing, lots of different aspects to the convention. So as a member, then people have the opportunity to be able to participate in that, right?
They do. Absolutely. And we would love for everybody who is a member to join us at the convention. It really is a fun time. You know, we focus on trying to provide a quality education program for club leaders, for event directors, for coaches. But we also, you know, running is very social, and that's really kind of a theme that we hold dear as part of the convention, and that is the social networking opportunities and making them fun and, you know, making sure that people have a good time and take away knowledge and I guess a bit of the, you know, okay, our problems aren't really any different than any problems anywhere else. I think sometimes when you realize people have shared challenges, it can make those challenges mm-hmm. not seem so difficult. And it also provides Definitely. People, as you said, with that network, that they have resources they can go to from people that they've met from clubs that are maybe a similar size, or they've been able to overcome some challenges. And so they can really network and interact with each other. And we see that on social media and Facebook, which I think is great, is to see that exchange where people are sharing ideas and knowledge and, you know, problem solving.
Right. And learning about running in a new city is a great thing. And I think in 2019, you're going to New Orleans, right?
We are going to be in New Orleans.
Yeah, I haven't gotten to any of the farther away conventions because it is a bit pricey, and of course you have to take time to do it. But they sound wonderful, and the one we had in the Bay Area was such an incredible experience for me. My run club was involved, and we just, you know, we had a really good time.
Yeah, that was a great convention. People definitely still talk about that one today.
Well, I might have had something to do with that, I hope. Now, talk about your coaching program, because so many of the listeners to this podcast are coaches. And I believe that a lot of them either have been involved with RRCA and have had their training through RRCA, or might be interested in learning more about how they could become coaches through your program.
Sure. So we do have our coaching certification course. It is a 2-day course, about 16 hours worth of content. I have a great team of coaching instructors. They all have either very long standing history in the sport of running, working with athletes, training athletes, their own you know, athletic careers that have really provided them with a great deal of firsthand knowledge. And then, you know, we have our science people that, you know, really help support the scientific side. And, you know, our program is really geared towards a coach who is interested in working with adult runners, typically beginning runners to what I would say sub-elite. So, you know, the physiological concepts that we go through in that certification course, they apply to somebody getting up off the couch for the couch to 5K to, you know, your sub-elite athlete. It's the same concept. Our bodies aren't, you know, they're different, but physiologically and at the cellular level, adaptation happens in a pretty similar fashion. And so, you know, we really do focus on the physiology. We also focus a lot on the psychology because, and I'm sure your coach listeners can attest that a lot of running is psychological. The coach might have a really solid understanding about the physiology, and that makes sense why you organize training programs the way you do. Maybe your runner doesn't care so much about physiology, but they really need the motivation. They need that psychology piece of it to help them set goals and, you know, do the baby steps and achieve some things and, you know, move forward to stretch their goals. And that's really where I think the coaching program is important for helping people understand those, you know, those two important functions when you're working with athletes. And really with the coaching program during the course, we talk a lot about, you know, it's about how you coach people, not how you become a better or faster runner. And for a lot of people, that's also a takeaway for them. You know, their running improves, but it really is about how can you help other people, you know, achieve their goals and be the best that they can be. So it's a, it's a great program, great team. We do about 33 courses a year, which is, you know, that's a lot. I think this year we might be around 37. You know, we, about 10 years, we're doing about five or six courses. And when Randy Assetto took over the program, we've just, we've really been able to, you know, meet that demand of people having a desire to go through the program and attain the knowledge and, you know, go out and work with athletes in their community. So it's been a great program and it continues to grow. And we developed about 2 years ago a second level. So a lot of continuing education for people that are currently certified coaches just to continue to progress that knowledge.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and do a deeper dive on certain concepts that, you know, if we did it all in the 2 week or the 2 day course, we'd be there all week. And, you know, a lot of people can't sacrifice a whole week for a training course. So that's starting to grow. And
your coaching program also is good because you have peers who are coaches at your level. You know, you meet these people at the programs. And so then you have a very cohesive network, immediate network of people that you can work with, develop new programs, whatever, as you have received your coaching certification. I wanted to ask you about actually signing up for those coaching programs, though. How do people actually find out about them, and are they able to get into them?
So we do on our website, we have an email sign up, and the best thing to do is for people to get their name on that email. We oftentimes, people are like, I've been on the email, but I, you know, the course was sold out before I got the email. When we organize a course, we actually work with a local running club or maybe an event organizer or a running store. And our goal is to really kind of create a community of coaches within a city or a town. So we work with our local host, and to even schedule a course, we're looking at the host to have about 15 people committed to the course. So oftentimes what happens that the course is nearly sold out before we open it up at a national level. And so there, you know, there may be anywhere from 0 to 10 slots left in a course after the local hosting organization has had an opportunity to promote it within their own running community. So that is some of the reason why they're harder to get into. I feel like in the last few years, we've done a much better job meeting some of the demand for the course. So people have a little bit more breathing room to get signed up that, you know, that some of the courses don't sell out as fast as they used to, because we have gone back to certain cities and we've also gone to some places where we've never been in some slightly smaller markets to, you know, to help serve the needs in what I would consider kind of underserved communities that have a great need for increasing physical activity in their community. So, you know, certainly some of the towns in states that really struggle with obesity issues. So we've made it a priority to get into some of those communities.
That's wonderful. And that coaching program is great. You learn a heck of a lot from it, and it's a full weekend of work. But at the end of it, you know a lot and you've made new friends. So I highly recommend checking in with RRCA or your local running club on what's going on with that coaching program. Let's change pace here a little bit and talk about the history of Roadrunners Club of America. It's the oldest running club organization in the country, correct?
Kind of. And I say that because the Boston Marathon certainly and the Boston Athletic Association predates our organization. But our organization was started in 1958. As I said, we celebrated our 60th anniversary this year. And it was really started the way a lot of organizations start, as a bit of a protest movement. In 1958, the governing body of the sport was the Amateur Athletic Union. And they were very parochial. Very set in their ways. Mm-hmm. And they're a group of people that said, we can do this different. We can do it better. We should, you know, not have to do health checks. You shouldn't have an age limitation. If you're, you know, a certain age, you shouldn't be precluded from running in an event if you turn 25. You know, that's what these guys were facing. That,
gosh.
In their 20s, they were hitting a certain age and then being told, you know, you're not an amateur athlete anymore. You're an adult. You know, go get a job. Stop running. So, you know, it very great, great group of men who started the organization. And one of the things I applaud was they recognized that women were not allowed to run more than 2 miles in competition. That was an AAU rule. And, you know, they really recognized that that was an archaic way of thinking. And it was the Roadrunners Club of America who worked with the Atlantic City Marathon and held the first women's marathon championship. And that was in the 60s. Wow. And it was RRCA Hall of Fame member and a past board member, Sarah Mae Berman, who won that race. And she's also obviously won Boston, you know, very, very strong advocate for access for women in the sport. So, you know, I would say the history of the organization has always been visionary, and it's always been highly inclusive, and it's always been a place where if rules don't make sense, that, you know, we need to look at that and we need to make changes and we need to make sure that the sport is inclusive for as many people as possible and who want to participate. So, you know, that's something that we really try to strive for even today, is looking at those fundamentals. And I would say, as an organization, a lot of times a 60-year-old organization, sometimes they'll have what's called mission shift, where they're kind of chasing a trend. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the original mission statement for the RRCA that was proposed back in 1957, it's not very different today. So I applaud all of the leaders over, you know, the last 60 years who have said, you know, it's a great organization. It's got a great foundation, great fundamentals, you know, that, and the mission has really stayed consistent over that period of time.
Can you talk about that mission a little bit? Can you give us that mission in a nutshell?
Right. So you did reference the mission at the very start of the interview. And, you know, the mission is to look at, we cover, I think, all ends of the sport, from the beginning runner to the senior runner. We still have people in their 90s participating in the sport. And that's really what we value, is that there is a place for every single person in the United States, in the world, in the sport of running. And so that's really what we try to emphasize in our mission, is that we're here to support little kids as they're getting started, moving and staying active and leading a healthy lifestyle, high school kids when they're participating in track or cross country, and even kids, you know, we're finding a lot of the high school running programs that are not competitive based are becoming popular.
Yeah, that's terrific.
You know, we want to keep, you know, young adults moving when they're in college, if they're not participating at a competitive level. And we want to keep people in the sport as they move through their adult years. So that really is the mission. We want people who are walking. We want people who are physically challenged. We want people who want to be elites, or, you know, they're right there on the cusp, all the way up to our elite athletes that we support on an annual basis. So, you know, that really is kind of the mission that we're looking at. We support the recreational side of running for health and fitness, and the sports side for competition within the U.S. and internationally.
That's so cool. And we haven't gotten into your story at all. That's coming next. But the history of RRCA, I didn't realize that it was kind of in, you know, in protest or in looking at running differently than the AAU was. So that's a great story, and I'm really glad I learned that today. So let's move on to you and what brought you into connection with RRCA. I'm sure it has something to do with running.
You know, I would say it's a progression. My undergraduate degree is in nutrition. I did not work in the field very long. I shifted gears to go into what is a very natural progression into international development work. I did that for several years until my kids were born, and didn't want to do the travel that was associated with that type of work. And I was looking around. I'd always been a lifelong athlete. I swam in college, got into triathlon post-collegiately, realized if I wanted to be competitive in triathlon, I actually needed to do some running, not just swimming and biking. So I started focusing more on the running, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad. This is a pretty cool sport and activity. And I was looking around professionally at something different to do, and saw the opportunity for the executive director job at the RRCA. And gosh, that was back in 2005.
Wow.
And applied. And, you know, as I say, the planets aligned, and here I am 13 plus years later in the job. You know, it's an interesting organization too. Again, being 60 years old, right around the year 2000, the organization went through what I would call a midlife crisis and had some leadership challenges, and, you know, had a great group of volunteer board members who worked very hard to make a lot of necessary changes to the governance of the organization. Mm. So I really came in at a great time. A lot of that, what I would say, heavy lifting work with like cultural change, governance changes, they'd done a lot of that work. And so I was able to step in and really kind of carry that on, because my master's degree is actually in nonprofit administration with a concentration of working on governance for a nonprofit organization. So, the planets kind of aligned. I can use my nutrition background from, you know, the health and fitness standpoint, and I can use my master's for all of the governance work that we do for the organization.
I bet you have to wear a lot of different hats.
Wear a lot of different hats. I definitely do. We have a small shop, a small staff. So, you know, we definitely use technology to get our job done.
Yeah. Well, thank you for all that you've contributed to this organization, because it really is, it just covers so many different aspects of running. And does, I have seen over the period of time that I've been involved with RRCA, it also has evolved. It's looking toward what are the needs now? What are the needs in the future? How can we address those?
I would agree. We really do try to be forward thinking. And that's one of our strategic points in our strategic plan that we have.
Now, talking about the history of the RRCA, or maybe more along the lines of what some of the additional programs are, you have a Distance Running Hall of Fame and also a National Running Award winners. Now, maybe you talked about the National Running Award winners earlier, if that was Rhodes Scholars, I'm not sure. But the Distance Running Hall of Fame, can you talk about that a bit?
So we have an awards program that we call it the National Running Awards. And really at the top of that is our Hall of Fame, And that really focuses on top contributors in our sport, elite athletes, marquee race directors who have worked very hard to put on outstanding events, who really, kind of exemplify the best professionally within the sport. So we have our Hall of Fame. We induct about 3 to 4 people a year. We have a process where, you know, we kind of vet a half a dozen candidates for the Hall of Fame and a committee that looks at those. And that committee is made up of current Hall of Fame members. So a lot of big names in the sport are involved in that process.
What are some of those names? Or who?
Frank Shorter, Bill Rogers. I'm going to have to pull up the list for who all, but a lot of them are current Hall of Fame members. Uh-huh. And we change on an annual basis, which is why I had kind of a pause that we have people that rotate in and out of that committee on a regular basis. So, we kind of look at it as a new committee each year.
Right.
Then with our running awards, we have a series of awards that we give out that are really based on individuals who put a lot of time into the sport, put a lot of time into their local running community, and then also looking at organizations that are doing great things in the sport as well. So we have our Outstanding Club President, Outstanding Volunteer of the Year. We have what's called the Browning Ross Award, which is really kind of a lifetime service award for somebody who's been very engaged with their local running community, as well as the Roadrunners Club of America. And that can be from volunteering, from serving on the board, from serving as one of our state representatives. So a lot of different criteria go into that Browning Ross Award. We have our Outstanding Youth Running Program, you know, really looking at people that are doing best practices type of work and developing youth programs and getting kids into the sport. We have our Roadrunners of the Year, which really they award some of the top performers at the open level and the master's level. Uh-huh. So just a whole variety. Road Race of the Year, we really look at races that are organized at a community level. Not necessarily a national race series, like a Rock and Roll wouldn't necessarily qualify because we're really looking at that event that has, locally owned and operated by an RRCA event or a running club or an event management company that only operates, you know, kind of within their local region. So a lot of variety within the awards. It's a great program. It's a great way to honor people who, oftentimes things get done in the sport. People go to their club runs, they go to their races, and they often stop to, they forget that there's somebody there who's making that happen for them.
Right.
And most often it's a volunteer.
Yeah. 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 I know, George Remit. You probably know George too, because he's been involved for so long, but, he just put so much time and effort into the program. And I know there are lots of other volunteers out there who are doing that kind of thing.
Yeah. George is outstanding. He is on our board of directors, which doesn't mean that I have to say great things about him, but I will say great things about him because he is a fantastic volunteer and really, you know, a shining example of being involved locally and nationally and really putting a lot of personal time into the sport of running.
Yeah, no, he's a great guy. We are getting close to the end of our talking time here, and we're going to be moving into the final kick. So is there anything that you would like to add to our conversation to kind of sum up RRCA and Jean Kanak and her part in this?
We've definitely covered a lot of ground. I would say there's one more program that I think is worth noting, and that is our Runner Friendly Community Program. That there is an application process for running clubs or events or running shoe stores that are members. They can go and complete this application. And it's really just a bit of a verification process to show that they're working with their community leaders to make running happen in their city. And a lot of clubs have found it's been a great way to interact with their city officials and, you know, just kind of foster goodwill. And we've had a lot of, when we provide an award and a lot of the people who get the designation will go and do a presentation at City Hall or with their mayor. And, You know, that's actually been a very positive program, especially at the local level.
Wow, that sounds great. Okay, well, I guess we are going to move out of RRCA and we're going to move into the final kick. But we are, before we do that, we're going to pause for a brief message from our sponsors.
Have you been struggling with knee pain on your runs? Don't let dreaded runner's knee derail your training and stop you from getting to the starting line. New Knee is an innovative new product designed specifically for runner's knee. It can get you running again immediately without knee pain. New Knee was invented by two-time Ironman Mike Emmerle because of his own five-year struggle with runner's knee. Mike had tried a variety of treatments, including compression sleeves and knee straps. Nothing allowed him to run without knee pain. Frustrated, Mike came up with his own unique solution, a solution based upon research. The research reveals that if you relieve the pressure, you relieve the pain. New Knee does exactly that. By relieving the pressure on your patella, your kneecap, New Knee can provide immediate relief of runner's knee pain. Mike now trains pain-free and no longer modifies his training to accommodate knee pain. Today, Mike receives weekly emails from runners like Sarah, who said, "It's wonderful. I'm back to running and couldn't be happier." And Andy, who said, "Congratulations on a winning design. New Knee helped me immediately." New Knee has even been five-star rated by DPT and running injury specialist Dr. Ben Shadow. Every now and then, an innovative product comes along that changes everything. New Knee is changing how runner's knee pain is treated. Stop runner's knee in its tracks by going to newkneeshop.com and use code RC20 for a 20% discount. That's NUNEESHOP, newkneeshop.com, and use code RC20.
So welcome back with Jean Knack from Roadrunners Club of America and me, your host, Stephanie K. Atwood. Jean, are you ready for the final kick?
I am.
Oh, good. All right. So we're going to start off with, what is your favorite local training run there in the Arlington, Virginia area? Tell us enough that our readers could actually find the location to park or the park to start and name of starting point, how long, the terrain, safety issues, bathrooms, you know, all that kind of stuff, so that if they do show up in Arlington, there'd be a good place for them to run.
Well, I'll admit I'm extremely spoiled. Anybody who lives in the DC metro area is very spoiled when it comes to running location assets. We have a tremendous trail system that communities have invested in around the DC metro area. For myself, it's great. I can step outside my front door and I can access one of our trails to run 26. I could run 40 miles if I were so ambitious. Wow. Without ever having really to run on a road. So I think one of the most popular trails in the area for Arlington is the W&OD Trail, which is a great asset for this area. Tree-lined, it is an asphalt trail, but there's some kind of pathways where you can run off to the side of the trail so you're not on asphalt the whole time. Very well-developed, water fountains throughout, parking lots throughout. Within the Arlington area, there's multiple access points, and so it's just a great asset. It's very easy to find on a map. A lot of the mapping software, you can go on to Strava and, you know, it's already mapped. So if people come to the area, you know, and they're looking for a long run, it's a great trail to hit. The other great areas, obviously, are right downtown DC to run along the National Mall. That's obviously an iconic area to run. It can be a little congested, but if you're there visiting for business, it really is a great place to go. You can also hop on the Rock Creek Park Trail and, you know, run along the river. So great trails that that flank the river on both sides. So just, you know, all around a great running town.
Sounds like it. Okay, so let's move on to question number two, a favorite or recommended running book.
Well, my current favorite running book is Dina Castor's book, Let Your Mind Run. And I'm going to double check make sure I get it right. Yeah, and it is Let Your Mind Run. And it's the memoir of thinking my way to victory. And back to the RRCA convention, Dina came and spoke at the convention about really using the power of positive thinking to drive all of your activities, and how she worked with, you know, somebody who would take the, oh, I don't feel like running today, to, you know, change that way of thinking of, you know, I have the opportunity to run today because I'm physically able, you know, really, really taking when you have that negative self-talk and changing the dialogue in your head. And so, you know, I think it's a fantastic book. And, you know, I think women they struggle with negative self-talk maybe a little more than men, but I think it's a book that applies to both genders, and people really can get a lot out of, you know, even just thinking about how can you change that internal dialogue you have when it comes to not just training, but life in general, and, you know, really focus on the positives in your life.
Like that. So that actually kind of sounds like words of wisdom or advice, but I talked to you about this earlier today. So you had a quick word of wisdom for our listeners.
I do have a quick word of wisdom. And as you know, when we were scheduling this, we had to pick a time around my physical therapy. And so my word of wisdom is go to physical therapy sooner rather than later. I'm about 9 months post Ironman training, and I let some things, little naggy, you know, not so feely good spots and several places, I let them go way too long, to the point where it has impacted my running, hopefully here in the short term. But having great success with physical therapy right now, I think I'll be back on the roads doing more than walking, you know, in the coming weeks. But that is my word of wisdom for the day, is physical therapy sooner than later.
Sounds good. And fourth question, before we get information on how to get in touch with you or stay in touch with you, is there someone or some subject about running that you would like to listen to in a future podcast?
I think what would be interesting for a future podcast is really looking at how running is growing internationally. That's something that we do some consulting with groups around the world. We've had several international attendees go through the coaching course, through the race director certification course. So I think there's some opportunities to look at and expand your audience about what's going on, you know, just kind of globally with the whole movement of running at the recreational level.
I love that. That's a great subject. And for me, one of the questions there is actually finding those people, you know, actually making contact with them. So maybe I can get in touch with you after this and see if you've got some connections that I might be able to touch base with.
I think I can help with that.
Thank you. So we are pretty much out of time, but I wanted you to let us know how our listeners can follow the RRCA and get involved if they would like to.
The best thing to do is go to our website. It's really easy. It's www.rrca.org. If you're interested in following us on a variety of social media platforms, we have all of those linked right to our homepage. We have an immense amount of information on our website, from starting a running club to hosting an event to putting on a youth program. We even have a mental health guide for runners to really help them on, you know, the mental health side if they're struggling, or their friends are struggling, if their kids are struggling. So there's just a wealth of information on the website. And on the website, you can find all of the staff member contacts as well if you have additional questions that aren't covered on the website.
Sounds good. Well, Jean, thank you so much for talking with us today. Thank you to our audience for joining us for today's podcast at Run to the Top. And be sure and follow us at the Runners Connect Winner Circle on Facebook by going to runnersconnect.net/F. B. And please subscribe to Run to the Top podcast at runnersconnect.net or on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, etc. You'll be notified every week when the new episode is published. Jean, thank you so much for speaking to us today about Roadrunners Club of America and your part in making it such a successful organization.
Thank you, Stephanie. This is great. I appreciate it.
Technology aside, it was really a lot of fun. And thank you, our audience, for listening. We'll be back next week with another great talk to entertain, educate, and inspire you as you head out on your running workout. This is Stephanie K. Atwood, your host with Run to the Top. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Run to the Top podcast from runnersconnect.net.